Scientists predict that plastic in the ocean will eventually outweigh fish in the ocean. But how many of those plastics are ending up in our seafood, and where are they coming from? In the Pacific Northwest, new research is helping answer those questions. Ken Christensen with our EarthFix team has the story.
Sarah Dudas is happy to shuck an oyster or a clam in the name of science.
This one's not as easy as the others. There we go.
Just don't ask her to eat one.
I associate a bucket of clams with work, not dinner. I'm inside, look, oh wow, that one's really fertile. I can see all the eggs in it. You know, these are comments I make at dinner parties.
She's a shellfish biologist at Vancouver Island University. And lately, she's making other unappetizing observations about plastics in those shellfish. Last summer, she and her students collected thousands of clams and oysters. They added chemicals to break the shellfish down, filtered the biodegradable stuff through fine mesh, and put what was left behind under a microscope.
We're finding most shellfish have plastic in them.
So when you eat clams and oysters,
you're eating plastic as well.
Her study was funded by the Canadian government and British Columbia's shellfish industry. They wanted to know whether shellfish farmers are contaminating their own crop.
Shellfish aquaculture uses a lot of plastic infrastructure. It's one of the tricky things is really trying to figure out the sources of the plastics.
So she turned to Peter Ross. He studies ocean pollution at the Vancouver Aquarium. He had already been searching for microplastics in water samples off the Pacific Northwest coast.
We were floored. We documented large numbers, all the way up to 9,200 particles per cubic meter of seawater.
9,200 particles per cubic meter. That's like emptying a salt shaker into a large moving box. Some of the pieces were tiny broken fragments, or little kernels of styrofoam. Some were microbeads used in toothpaste and face wash. But most of them were similar to the ones Dudas is finding. They're like colorful, microscopic hairs.
80% of the particles of microplastics that we're running into consists of fibers. We see loads and loads of fibers.
Ross is trying to figure out where those fibers are coming from, turning his science lab into something more like a crime lab. He places one of the particles in a forensic machine.
We're trying to identify what this mystery particle is. We're just going to pinch that down there so there's direct contact.
It analyzes the particle and generates a jagged line on a nearby computer. That's the plastic's unique infrared signature. Then it cross-references that line with similar graphs from a global database.
We got 1, 2, 3 beautiful peaks.
Ross and a lab assistant run down the list of possible matches. Fibers with names like Wonder Thread.
It's nylon. Nylon.
So this is kind of nice because they're all nylon, right?
Exactly.
They've also identified synthetics like olefin and polyester. Ross says the data is adding to a growing body of evidence that a big source of this pollution is clothing. A single load of laundry can shed thousands of synthetic microfibers from garments like fleeces and sweaters. Those fibers can get flushed into the ocean because filters on washing machines and wastewater treatment plants aren't built to catch particles that small. Jeff Crook is the chief product officer at Mountain Equipment Co-op, one of Canada's biggest outdoor retailers. He says Ross's research is crucial to make changes in the industry.
That's part of what we're looking to the science for. And the more we know about how this problem's manifesting in the water, the more we can go back and tinker and try to improve the materials.
Better materials may be one way to keep these fibers out of the food chain. But should we be concerned about being a part of that food chain? Biologist Sarah Dudas says scientists aren't sure yet.
Literally every day we're learning more about the risk that those microplastics might pose to the animals that are eating them, us included as well.
But she knows one thing. If we don't change the way we consume plastic in society, we can plan on consuming more of it at the dinner table. In Vancouver, British Columbia, I'm Ken Christensen.